In this episode of the Focus Coach Show, I'm going to talk about a phrase I coined recently, slide into oblivion, and how it relates to goal setting. I'm going to do it through a case study from a client session I had this week. So stick around, stay tuned, and let's get started. Welcome to the Focus Coach, episode 7. On the slide into oblivion. I'm your host, Jeff Sari, and this podcast episode is about your goals being thwarted. So it's a great time of year to set goals, naturally. January 1st, we're 3 weeks into it now, and we're realizing that it's hard work. The national average, as I said in my podcast about the moving parts of goal setting, is 92%. Of goals fail by the third week of January. So we're right into it. We start off strong and then we start to wane and we have a reversal of fortune. And that's not really what we want. And so in coaching and my practice, it's very curious to me why we have this reversal. And I want to help my clients understand and unpack what is going on mentally and emotionally so that they can refocus on the results they want and get through the eye of the needle. I had a recent session with a client this past Tuesday, and just for this podcast, I'll call her Megan. Megan is a wonderful woman, very caring, kind, compassionate. She's totally on it. She's a happy person, family-oriented, and a great worker, detail-oriented. I can't say enough good things about her. She has a goal this year to be more fit and lose weight. When I met with her on the 21st, she was already down 10 pounds. And what she said is that she has the propensity or the tendency to go down the slide and not get what she wants. And then that had me take pause and the phrase oblivion, the slide into oblivion, came up. So I had to call this podcast that. And it may not be total oblivion. Oblivion is defined as unconsciousness or unawareness of what is happening. And so a lot of us kind of understand what's going on. We can feel it. We can see some of the thoughts that we're gripped by. So it may be kind of a quasi-oblivion, but I didn't want to call it on the slide into quasi-oblivion. So for this intents and purposes, the slide into oblivion stands. So here Megan is having a goal, dreaming it up at the beginning of the year, and taking concerted action. So exercising and watching what she eats. And after 2.5 weeks, 10 pounds has already been shed. And she wants to lose 17 more by April. But what happens is something will happen in her life that we'll call a trigger event. A stress, as she called it, will pop up. And that will lead her into mindless eating. And mindless, again, oblivion, mindlessness, you're now eating comfort food to stave off the stress. And I think most of us can relate to that. Food is mood. Food helps people deal with the stresses of life. Feels good. But it's probably not in your best interest all the time if you're stress eating, especially for your waistline and your goal. So as her coach, I want her to get what she wants. And this tendency for her to go down this slide into oblivion, we need to head off at the pass and get clear about what it is and then refocus. And she also said after this triggering event, she gets in her head. You know, so she'll mindlessly eat and then she'll get in her head about it. And then I asked her, what does that mean? What does it mean to be in your head? Because as a coach, clients say things and I want to see what that actually means to that person. So here are some things that come up. Excuses. I'll start again tomorrow. And then a little other voice says, no, I won't. Another one is, what's the point? What's the point of all this, losing weight? Another voice is, I haven't been able to keep the weight off in the past. So some apathy, some second guessing of self. Another one might be, what's the big deal if I eat 3 cookies today? I'll get right back on tomorrow. As I said before, I'll start again tomorrow. So what's the big deal if I eat these 3 cookies or have this big bowl of pasta or have this huge plate of nachos? Another one is, I can't do it. I tried and I have no willpower. I just can't not eat the cookies. And then there's the old trusty, I've tried everything, tried every diet under the sun. Is this the right thing for me? I'm not sure. So analysis paralysis sets in. Then we got into the big kahuna. I don't deserve it. If I'm better, then the people around me will suffer. Which goes right into the heart of our identity. Something we all struggle with and something we'll have a future podcast on is this notion of how we view ourselves, what we think about ourselves on the dark side. There's a lot of great things about us, and there are things that we don't like about ourselves that form an identity, this picture, this mental picture that is associated with strong feelings about how we view ourselves in the world in relation to other people. So most of us have a strain of I'm not good enough. So if I shine, if I change and lose weight and look beautiful and feel better about myself, who am I? Who is that person that's shining? I'm not used to that. And my not good enough identity runs right into the face of that thing. And so why don't I just play small? Why don't I just dumb it down a little bit? Dial down the action, dial down the intentions, dial down the desire, and fall off the rails, slide into oblivion. So I think, like I said, most of us have these triggering events, and we have to be careful about these things. In my podcast, number 5, the moving parts of goal setting, talked about barriers. We'll all have barriers. Every one of us has a barrier or 2 or 3 or 4. And so there's things you want, and there's things that are going to hold you back. If stress is going to hold you back, then we have to figure that out. So that stress doesn't lead you into the path of oblivion and then mindless eating. Because then from there, the dominoes fall and you get in your head about it and the action limps along or stops altogether and you follow that cyclical pattern. Other triggering events are things like distractions. So let's say you're trying to work out and your kids are jumping all over you or interrupting you. When you're trying to have, you know, some mom time, as Megan calls it, that is a big issue. Some people are impulsive. They want to see results right away, and that's a triggering event for them. So they look in the mirror, and yeah, they are 10 pounds lighter, but they don't see it. And so they're not seeing instant results. And by the way, I have another client I just met with a couple weeks ago who started doing push-ups, wanted to get a little bit more muscle mass, and he was going to do some body weight stuff at home. So he tried it for 3 days and then stopped. And I had just caught him at the tail end of that stopping and asked him, well, why? And he said, well, I haven't seen results. And I said, yeah, but it's going to take probably a little more than 3 days to build up some muscle mass and to see some definition. And he says, I know that theoretically, but I get impulsive and I don't see the results. And so I lose interest. Another triggering event might be actually not having food in your pantry, not having the adequate food prepared, not packing a lunch, and so you're out on the road and you're going through drive-thrus. In fact, I just talked to someone today at the co-op, which is an interesting oxymoron, who was telling me they're on the road a lot and they go through McDonald's and Burger King and all those things every day. Yet we're in this co-op where the food is all organic and fresh and, you know, Whole Foods and what they stand for. So it's just an interesting conversation. But again, not having food prepared or having the right foods in your pantry could be a barrier for you because when you're hungry, you got to go eat. And so if the chips are there, you're going to grab those. So as I said in the earlier podcast, as we know what the barriers are, we can line item them and get through them. For instance, stress. We don't have to eat to deal with our stress. That's just one way to deal with stress. Exercise is a great way to deal with stress. Meditation. Talking to someone, venting out your stress somehow, journaling. There are hundreds of ways to deal with stress. Not having food in your pantry? Easy. Go buy food, which means you need to make time to go shopping, make a list and all these things, have the budget. Eating better these days costs a little bit more money, as we know. If it's distractions, learning how to say no, learning how to create boundaries. So this is mom's time, 30 minutes, dad's on. And then another triggering event might be feeling obligated by other people. It may be other people's goals for us, such as a work goal, you know, to reduce wastage in a manufacturing setting. You may not actually really want to do that. And so you're feeling pressured to do that. And that can cause resistance, and that could be a triggering event for you. Every time you kind of think of it, you then say, well, I'll kind of get to that tomorrow. So that procrastination sets in, and it's not a goal you actually really want to buy into. And so I think the slide is profound because we're all guilty of it, and not guilt in a way where you have to feel shame, but we all purvey this in some way. And the trick is to catch yourself or have someone help you catch yourself. And that's what coaching is. I help catch my clients in real time. Megan is right on the cusp of this slide into oblivion, right? Where stress is going to happen. She's going to start to eat. And this pattern rears its ugly head. I'm here to uphold and refocus for her if she wants to on what she wants to create, which is another 17 pounds lighter. Which is a realistic goal. And again, we talk about SMART goals, specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-bound. And so her goal of weight loss fits into this. That is a realistic goal and it's time-bound. And we can measure it. Is the weight coming off? So far, 10 pounds. So far, so good. So in coaching, we look at what do we need to do to get through this barrier and refocus on what we want. Sometimes it means to reassess the goal. Is it really about weight loss, a specific amount? Is it just about feeling better, looking a little bit better? So what is the goal about? What do you actually want? What do you want to create? And we want to get clear about that and recalibrate ourselves and get back on the action train. Because as we saw, action over time leads to success or the propensity for success. There's no guarantee that the extra 17 pounds will go off. But if she takes action, concerted action over time, the propensity for it to happen is likely. Which leads to, you know, another thought is, am I doing the right thing? Is this the right diet for me? Is it actually working? And we can get into this analysis paralysis as another barrier. The way to deal with that is maybe to do some research, talk to some other people, and then to try something. Trying something is better than not trying something. So if you always do what you're doing, you're going to get the same result. That's the definition of insanity. We don't want insanity. We want sanity. We don't want oblivion. We want consciousness and focus on what it is we want to create. So I wanted to do this short podcast today to get the word out that this slide into oblivion is possible. You know it well. You know how it rears its head for you. You know what happens. Triggering events happen that lead to these subtle thoughts, feelings of apathy, feelings of discomfort, and stopping or inhibiting action. And that's how 92% of people go. I want you to be part of the minority 8% and get what you want to create. Even a little bit better is a little bit better. And one other concept I want to bring up is this notion of homeostasis. Part of us doesn't want to change. You know, in nature, you see this balance. And there's a part of us that desires change, and then there's a part of us that doesn't desire change. So there's already that internal mechanism that can sometimes produce a stuck feeling. And look at body temperature. If you have a fever, your body kicks in to try to get back to the proper temperature. If you get too cold, your body starts to shiver to try to warm you up. And so that 96 or 97 degree body temperature is that homeostasis. Anything above or below the line can cause involuntary actions. But we're not talking about involuntary actions. We're talking about voluntary actions. We're talking about bringing our unconsciousness into consciousness so that we know what we're doing and we can choose. We know that homeostasis is a part of us, and yet in coaching, we try to move that comfort zone to the next level or baseline of homeostasis. So that's what we do. We keep going, keep pushing the needle, keep pushing the dial, keep pushing the envelope into those realms of expansion and greatness. Remember, your excellence is my business. As a coach, I want you to be better if you want to be better. And go back to that podcast on the moving parts of goal setting. There's 8 components of what makes us us. And so we're talking one with Megan about the physical body, losing weight, feeling fit, feeling better, looking better. But there's all sorts of other ways that we can get better as well. So go back and review that podcast. That's it for now. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it and subscribe. And until next time, peace. Thanks so much for tuning into The Focus Coach. Go ahead and subscribe to the podcast and share it as well. Also, go to thefocuscoachshow.com/tools to get your free worksheets, donate to the podcast, and also sign up for a free coaching session. Until next time, peace.